Well, think about this. Guys that have operations, penile augmentations or penile operations.
That's where I want to go
they have
next.
These?
That, and you know, the next morning the doctor comes in and the penis, the tip of the penis is turning blue. What do you think you do?
You got to get a gay leech. You got to look at the leech and
that's
be like,
a snail.
Yeah, it's funny because my son just called me. He goes, what are you doing? And I said, I'm doing the Stiff Socks podcast. He goes, you mean Trevor Wallace and Michael Blassie? And I, yeah. They go, oh, fuck, seriously? He's doing that?
You should have brought him.
Dope.
That's should have brought him, dude.
He says, say hi to you guys.
That brings you so much joy. I've had parents in a meet and greet say, like, you know, my kid couldn't make it. He's off of college or whatever. But, like, he's so jealous we're here. Can we send him, like, a FaceTime video? Or a video? I'm like, fuck you, I'm with your parents.
That's
and then
so
they're always
funny.
Like, you don't know how much, like, you just earned me with them. So we're bringing families together. Yeah. Terry DeBrow's here today.
Yeah, you guys are huge.
He stooped down to our level. We made him go to the Valley. When was the last time you were in the Valley?
So I grew up in the Valley.
Oh, what part?
Okay.
And as soon as I graduated high school, I went to Van Nuys High School. I'll be honest with you. I made a vow to never come back to the Valley.
Yep. Unless you're flying private out of the Van Nuys Airport.
Which I, to be honest, I do.
Yes, you do.
Okay. Once or twice.
Okay, so you've done, how many surgeries would you say in your lifetime if you had to put a number on it?
20,000 to 25,000, probably.
25,000.
Oh, yeah. My God.
All right, hold on, let's wait for this.
No, it's good for the audio.
Okay.
So my training was really long, by the way. I did 7 years of general surgery training with all the trauma and the gunshot wounds and the cancer and the heart surgery.
Like
and you're like, you wouldn't have got shot if you put a BBL in it.
Exactly, like that.
The pit, is it, like, because I heard... doctors have like commented and be like, dude, that's exactly how it is. Is it really how it is?
You know what? ER docs don't do all that kind of stuff. As soon as it gets heavy, they call the surgeons down.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, that's the ego of a surgeon. I love it.
But it's true though. Yeah. Someone's got a gunshot wound. We go to the ER docs. You done? Okay. All right. Go back.
Really?
Treat the cold.
So it's
kind of
like when
you're
the dentist and they have like the nurse do it. The person before.
Dental hygienist.
And then the dentist pops in and gives you a little shoulder tap. He's like, you look good, kid. And you're like, teeth are all right.
Yeah. You know.
And he puts the gas and touches you.
Right. On that show, you know, someone has a stab wound to the heart. They'll put the rib spreaders in and fix the hole.
Yeah. It's gross.
ER docs don't know how to do that. Only surgeons.
So you've done 20 to 30,000 surgeries.
Yes.
Just by glimpse, if there was any work you could do by me, what would you do? What would you change? Let me give you a side profile. Is it the nose?
No, the nose is awesome, man.
Yeah, is there nothing?
I mean, you look great. I mean, you're actually,
this is bullshit. Hold on.
This is the PR answer.
The truth is, if you came in to me and said, what would you do? I'd say, what bothers you?
Wow.
Ooh.
Right?
It's not my
about
girlfriend.
Me. It's about you, right? And if you said, you know, you actually have a very symmetrical face. Your face actually really works.
You hear that, Hollywood?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's true.
And what about him? What would you change?
I mean,
besides my personality,
it's a scalpel, not a magic wand, you know.
Oh,
no, I'm kidding.
Shit.
No.
Fuck.
Both you guys, obviously, have great faces and great hair, and you guys got it going.
Oh, man, I don't like this.
It's true.
Okay, besides me being 5'8 and have a tiny dick, what else would you change?
Both.
Well, they do an Elizabeth.
Both.
What?
You ever heard of the Elizaroff procedure?
No, but that make my cock bigger? Let's do it.
No, it's leg lengthening. Heard of this.
This was on my phone to ask you.
Don't they have to like break your leg? And then
they
grow? So it's the clavicular method.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on clavicular breaking his jaw every single day?
First of all, the bone smashing.
Yes.
It's the biggest load of BS ever. It doesn't work. It doesn't do anything. He talks about this Wolf's Law, this idea that if you put enough pressure on the bone, it'll grow in proportion to the pressure. That's BS when it comes to using a hammer. That only works if you're, you know, if you're doing the Elizaroff. That works. You fracture it, you separate it, it'll fill in and you'll grow.
Oh, hold on. I'm so sorry. I thought they broke the shin and then put something in there.
And then they have this, in the old days, you used to have to wind this thing on the outside.
Oh, I'm going to vomit. Okay.
Now they have this thing that actually causes it to distract. It's called distraction osteogenesis. So thank you. As it's distracting, it's filling in with bone.
The bone fills in itself?
It does.
What is this human body we have? That's
pretty
insane.
Amazing, isn't it?
And the one that used to crank, was that a one-time thing or you had to plug it in to crank? Like if
you
had a bar and it goes like, you're short and what about now?
That's exactly right. Now you Bluetooth it.
Oh, right. Shit. You got a USB
C? Plays tunes while it's doing, I don't know.
Hold on.
What's the most fascinating implant you've put in somebody?
So, I mean, you know, it's the weird, if you think about how crazy what I do is for a living, think about this. If someone would have told you 30 years ago, hey, I have an idea. Why don't we take a girl and cut a big hole in her chest, in her breast, lift it up and throw some, plastic in there and give her bigger breasts. You go, what are you, insane?
Yeah.
They actually did that. The first case of that was in the Valley right here in Van Nuys.
Porn capital of the world.
These two dudes did. If you ever want to see it, it was called Breast Men on HBO.
Okay.
Starring one of the guys from Friends. Anyway, I mean, it's such a crazy, half the stuff we do is basically body modification and human experimentation until it becomes a thing.
So you're saying the first breast augmentation happened in the Valley?
In the United States.
In the United States.
Yes.
And now it's probably the procedure is way more sophisticated, I'm assuming.
Yes.
How did it start and where are we at now?
So back then you could kind of get away with just doing things. Now you'd be sued and people say you're doing human experimentation. But back then you go, you know, plastic surgeon, go, well, based on this concept of putting, you know, we put other, you know, implants in the face, why don't we put one in the breasts? And they just started doing it. And it didn't work very well at first because it got really hard. The immune system would fight it and reject it.
Oh.
Now we've got a lot more wired. It's a very precise operation. We've got implants the body is okay with.
And now can't you go through the nipple?
You go through the – well, the problem with going through the nipple is there's the sort of bacteria in
the – and then when the baby breastfeeds, it's like – it's like Legos.
The most common way is underneath, but it's about 60% underneath, 40% through the nipple.
Wow. Is there a way to do it where there's no
scar?
That's what I'm asking.
So for a while it was done through the belly button, but you could only put a saline one in through that. But a couple guys, one of whom was a plastic surgeon in the Valley, was doing it through the belly button. It was called transumbilical breast augmentation.
Okay.
And you put this tube in and then you shove it through that and he put the tube in through the heart.
Oh my God.
No!
The heart?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah, right
like
into
Cupid?
The heart.
Like,
yes.
Yeah. So here and then in each one?
In each one. And then you feed it and then you blow it up with saline, right?
So the person died?
Yes.
Yeah. Hey,
it's happened a few times. So it's not as
popular.
Death by tit.
How do you miss? I'd love to do
great title. Like,
how did you miss that bad?
Well,
you can't see in there.
You didn't hear about this case that was like a month ago? This general surgeon went in to take the kidney out. He's going to do a left nephrectomy for a diseased kidney. And he took the liver out by mistake.
Which honestly, if you ask me, I'm not great at playing operation. I would do the same. I'd be like, which one's which?
Yeah, well, one's like huge.
Not mine.
The other is about the size of your fist.
Sometimes, where did he go to medical school? Like Midas?
DeVry?
Exactly. Well, he actually just got convicted of involuntary manslaughter because the patient died.
Yeah.
What a dumbass.
I mean, I would change involuntary to voluntary, you dumb fuck. How do you take out?
You're so reckless. You're such a moron. Who gave you your medical license?
Oh, my God.
Well, he was on like Vicodin and fucking White Claw probably.
This stuff.
Combo.
You'd be surprised the stuff that doctors sometimes can do. It sort of blow your mind. I mean, I could tell you stories.
Please. And I want to hear all of these.
I actually had a TV show called License to Kill. It went two seasons. It was on Oxygen. It was about when doctors go off the deep end. Think about it. If there was someone who knows how to kill you without you having any idea that we've done it, it's a doctor.
I'm
the
in.
Ultimate
Bring it back
007,
for a third season.
Right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. It went two seasons.
Somebody could get hitmen.
Yeah.
Somebody could be like, here's my husband. Wink, wink.
Yeah. Well, we know how to give you stuff that like you'll have a cardiac arrest, but there's no trace in your body.
Like what? How do I do it? Someone take out the notes app.
Potassium. You give enough potassium.
You eat too many bananas?
Exactly. So if so,
we should do a podcast.
Potassium?
Yeah. If someone's like, you know, in the hospital with an IV in, instead of giving them antibiotics, you throw a bunch of potassium. That'll send them into arrhythmia.
I hope no nurses are listening to the show right now.
Well, there were a few nurses on my show, License to Kill, that were busted. Ultimately, they were.
And how did they get caught?
A bunch of people, wherever they worked, would die. And then they'd leave and go to another place and a bunch of people there would die. It was like a pattern.
Were they getting paid to do this? Why would they do it? What's the motivation?
They all had their sort of psycho.
Oh.
I mean, you know, these people are, I mean, this clavicular guy is a nutty guy.
Give him some potassium, huh?
I mean, think about what he's-
Or crack.
Think about what he's doing.
It. I know.
He's mixing what? Crystal meth for appetite suppression.
Yeah.
Has he ever heard of Adderall?
Ladies and gents, this podcast is sponsored from our friends at Shopify.
Why, dude? Starting something new isn't just hard, it is freaking terrifying, okay? So much work goes into this thing that you're not entirely sure will work, and it can be hard to make that leap of faith. Trust me, we know, dude. When we started this podcast, dude, we wasn't sure if it was gonna freaking work. What if no one listens? What if we make a fool of ourselves, dude? What if no one buys the freaking product, okay? But now we know that we were right in pursuing our freaking dreams, and thank God for Shopify, because they have helped us create just an incredible platform for us and our merch, because you guys know we have a merch and we'd be lost in the freaking sauce without Shopify. Dude, Shopify is the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world, including ours. You god darn right. And 10% of all e-commerce in the US from household names like Skims, Gymshark, Magic Spoon. It's just brands. Just get started with your own studio design with hundreds of ready-to-use templates. Shopify helps you build a beautiful online store that matches your brand's style. Dude, get the word out like you have a marketing team behind you. Easily create email and social media campaigns wherever your customers are strolling, dude. So it's time to turn those what-ifs into cha-ching with Shopify today. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/socks. Go to shopify.com/socks. That is shopify.com/socks.
Goddamn. So what else is you were about to list what he's doing. So do we know what he's all doing? He's doing the bone. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's all about, you know, looks maxing. Right. I call it dumb maxing.
Hey, I love talk it. That talk, Terry.
Yeah.
Let's start a beef.
So I know. So they chew this gum. Was that Chumaxing that's supposed to hypertrophy, you know, your...
Does that not work, though?
It does not work.
It really? Doesn't. They have a whole, like, chew thing, though.
Okay, question. A friend of ours, Matt Reif, great job, very well known. And I saw in a clip, he goes, I just chew a lot of gum. Is that... Was he...
That's why he's got a big mandible.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, people didn't used to want to have big mandibles. We used to put Botox in there.
To take it down.
That's like a thing you do.
Well, things are changing. People now want gigantic butts. 30 years ago, no butts.
By the way, how stupid an operation is that?
Gigantic butts?
Yeah, who BBL? Thought of this? Let's take fat from your abdomen and shove it into your butt. It's the stupidest idea I've ever. And by the way, it's the most fatal operation in plastic surgery.
And why is that?
Why? Because potassium?
Okay, so in your butt, there's these short, kind of wide blood vessels that are very closely connected to the main vein going back to your heart, the vena cava.
Oh, no.
So our ass is connected to our heart?
Yes.
No wonder I love ass.
Okay.
Honestly, that's reason. It's the best joke of so far.
So if you inject it by mistake into one of those blood vessels and it gets into the main vein going back to your heart and it goes to your lungs, you die.
Yeah, that's why you shouldn't get it done at like David's Bridal in like somewhere in Europe.
It used to be 1 in 3,000 people died. That's very high for an operation.
I've heard they also smell. Is this confirmed?
You know, so I guess.
Or maybe
what do you mean you heard? You mean you smelled?
No. But like, didn't like Offset was saying about Cardi B is like, yeah, her BBL smelled.
Well,
really,
it's so big you can't wipe everything.
That's exactly right. It's a hygiene problem.
Oh shit!
Get it? Shit.
If it's, by the way, if they're so big, how do you get back in there and do the thing?
That's why you have an assistant.
That
ass wiping assistant.
Oh, right.
That's really like all it boils down to. It's not like the material smells.
No, because it's your own fat put in your own tissue.
So if you call somebody with a BBL a fat ass, that is...
It's accurate.
It's accurate.
It's diagnostic.
Oh, my God.
Diagnostic?
my problem with the BBLs is they need a BBL. They also need the thigh. Because it just stops and the ass looks like an AirPod, but like if you're gonna get a fake ass, you need a fake leg.
It looks
so cohesive.
Yes. I think it's the weirdest operation.
And the craziest thing is you have to sit on a different seat for like a week.
You do? No, you have to stay off it for about a month.
Yeah.
You know, sleep on your stomach.
Oh, I saw a whole thing. Kanye West was out with his wife and she was carrying her BBL pillow on at restaurants.
That's right. Because if you sit on it too much and it doesn't get its own blood supply, because like taking a plant from one soil, the abdomen, putting it in another soil, right? Another part. If the plant doesn't get irrigation, if the fat doesn't get blood, it dies and it turns into fat necrosis and hard lumps. It's disaster. And by the way, it can die anyway. Even if you do it perfectly and you don't sit on it, a certain percentage of it will form hard fat necrosis sort of tumors.
So what's the shelf life of a BBL? Is there like, is it endless if it does well?
If, okay, once either it absorbs or it dies, once you get it to take, it's there then forever. Good. The problem is, you see these people, these 30-year-old women, 28-year-old women, what are they going to look like at 60?
Not
they've
great.
Gained
they're going to look like 10, a melted candle.
They get 10 pounds. No, it's going to be so huge. And, you know, grandma with this giant butt, it's going to be like the Eddie Murphy movie.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, what's luckily, grandma's wearing such flowy clothes.
Hercules. Yeah, yeah. What is that where he's as big? Guys.
Nutty Professor?
What? Yes.
Nutty Professor.
Nutty Professor.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's so. That's
it's
so,
not a good operation.
Can you dissolve it?
No.
No.
What?
So to get it out, you have to.
You have suction it.
Yeah. So, how do you would want that job?
What? Suction it?
Yeah.
You want to siphon ass?
I thought you liked ass.
You
want to
suck ass fat?
There.
You, next
that sounds
stage.
Like an internet hate comment. You suck ass
that
fat.
That could be a new side career. So,
okay.
For you.
I have a question. I feel like when I was in maybe middle school or high school, like if somebody got a tummy tuck, that was like the talk of the town. Yeah. It was the only way to lose weight. Ozempic is flying through the market. Are tummy tucks even still a thing?
Yes, because tummy tucks are when you've lost weight.
Right? Skin. Mm.
Or you've had many kids and the muscles have separated.
Oh, it has nothing to do. Don't they like cut something or staple something?
What you do with a tummy tuck is you make a big incision hip to hip, lift up the abdominal wall, tighten the muscle in two layers, pull down the excess skin, and all the skin from the belly button down, you remove it.
And what do you do with
it? Yeah, what do you make a bag out of it? This is my Birkin.
No, you throw it away. You send it.
You can't throw it away.
Our trash can at the hospital.
No, you have to do a special sort of hazardous waste thing. You pay a lot of money. We surgeons pay a lot of money to throw that stuff away. If you throw it, you know, in the trash, you can be arrested for that, actually.
Yeah, I mean, you can't. A raccoon's going to eat that. Like, you know, you can't. Yeah, yeah, it's not. That's not good. Yeah,
so are tummy tucks, are people still doing that? Or are people just going straight to Ozempic and GLP-1s?
So because of Ozempic, because of the GLP-1s, they're more common now because people have lost weight. So there's more loose skin.
Oh, shit. So, all those so it's people, a one-to-one.
Yes.
So we should get in the people, tummy tuck business.
Or any of the weight loss, you know, operations now. Yeah.
Oh,
by the way, I'm obsessed with these GLP-1. I could talk about this.
Good or bad?
They're awesome.
Really?
Oh,
they're the best.
Can I ask you this, though? Yes. Is this one of those things that is the fad, and then in 70 years, everyone's like, I can't believe everyone's taking GLP-1s. Now everyone's a lizard, like something weird?
Okay. It's the best invention in the history of medicine.
Are we sure? Because I guarantee you the
know
guy-
you talking to?
Hold on, let me get my point. I know, I'm wrong. I'm just,
not necessarily.
But don't you think like the gentleman or whoever invented like with the leeches on the thing back in 1400, I think that guy stood on a apple box in the town square and was like, this is the best invention ever. And then comes to find out it did nothing.
Yeah.
Do you know, get my point?
We still use leeches in plastic surgery.
Shut your mouth.
All the time.
What do you mean?
So if you're doing an operation that lifts up a lot of skin, and you're moving it from one place to another, like for example, let's say you do a big breast reduction or a big breast lift. You move all the skin, lift the nipple up, and the nipple the next morning is blue because it can't get blood out of it. Oh. Do you know what you do?
What?
You put leeches on it.
Like cupping.
Exactly.
Oh, my
but
Lord.
But for blood, yes.
Hold on.
Super effective.
So where do you go? Petco to get these leeches?
You go to 1-800-LEECH-USA.
You're actually lying to me.
No,
The way people make money in this day and age is crazy. I'm going to get into leeches.
Yes. And it's weird because this leech nurse appears out of nowhere because they have
one? Sorry, I'll
A nurse.
Talk. Oh, yes.
Yeah, the nurse appears out of nowhere because you need it. Like, when you need it, you need it right now. Yeah. You have like 6 hours to get the leeches on. She puts the leeches on the area, they attach, and then they suck the blood. And then when they get full, they fall off. And then they inject an enzyme, the leeches injected enzyme that makes you bleed for like 2 days. Because that's what you wanted to do. You wanted to bleed
to get
the blood out.
Dude, could you imagine being that woman? You open your eyes, you look down, you're like, what do they do with my areola and why is it a bug?
Well, think about this. Guys that have operations, penile augmentations or penile operations.
That's where I want to go
they
next.
Have these?
That, and you know, the next morning the doctor comes in and the penis, the tip of the penis is turning blue. What do you think you do?
You got to get a gay leech. You got to look at the leech and
that's
be like, dude.
It's hard to get them to detach, I will say.
It's hard to get them detached?
When they're on the penis.
Buddy, can you imagine being a dude and looking down and being like, where's my dick? It's just a bag of bugs.
I know. It's freaky.
Goddamn.
This podcast is sponsored from our friends at Lumi Gummies. Ladies and gents, imagine if edibles just made you feel good instead of too high. Dude, that's what Lumi Gummies do. They bring you that just consistent, mellow, and super delicious. Lumi Gummies are specifically designed to make you just feel good, not stoned, whenever you're looking for an end-of-day distress or a midday mood boost or help getting the best sleep ever. Lumi Gummies has a strand that is right for you. Let me tell you a freaking secret, guys. I obviously am on the road all the time, okay, and have trouble sleeping. You freaking get off stage. You're all jacked up on Red Bull and all the other stuff. And let me tell you something. Get back to the hotel. You're just like reading the inside of your brain. It's awful. But I do the Lumi Gummies, dude. It's just the right amount to make me sleepy, dude. And let me tell you something. I have a beautiful, beautiful dreams, beautiful sleep. I wake up rested. Thank the Lord for Lumi Gummies. Lumi Gummies, dude, it comes in 9 strands that fall into 3 effects categories, each suited for a different use. Dude, they got sativas, they got freaking, and in the sativas, they got orange cream cookies, dude. Are you kidding me? That's incredible. They have pina colada kush. They have the hybrid, bro, and they also have the indica, okay? Any strand that is perfect for you in any situation you need them, Lumi Gummies are incredible. So, ladies and gents, Lumi Gummies are available nationwide. Go to lumigummies.com. That is L-U-M-I. gummies.com. Use our code SOCKS for 30% off your order. Again, that is L-U-M-I gummies.com. Code SOCKS. LumiGummies.com. Code SOCKS.
Goddamn.
Speaking of Bosch, I mean, what a great show. Is there one episode that you still think about or one surgery that you're like, I still can't believe this was brought to me or pulled off?
So we had a patient who, you know, people get fillers, right?
Yeah.
So they want it in their buttock. They want it in their face. Well,
oh, the wrong type of lip filler.
They want the wrong type of lip filler. The pumping parties, right? Plumping parties,
plumping,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
You go to a hotel and some madame is there who went and got some illegal filler substances. So there was this one in Florida.
Oh.
She went to a-
Was it on an island?
No.
Off the coast of Florida?
No. She went to a plumbing supply store and instead of getting- She got caulking material.
No, dude.
Which is like concrete.
Right? Yes.
And she didn't tell the people. And she said, oh, yeah, well, I'll do your butt augmentation. I'll do your... And she allowed people allowed her to put concrete caulking material in their face. And at first it works, right?
Who's caulking?
Yeah.
Right? But then after a short period of time, the immune system says... What the hell is this?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
starts laying down scar tissue.
I'm not drywall.
It's exactly drywall. So on the third season of Botch, we had this woman come in who had these elephant man sized nodules all over her face. Her name is Raji, R-A-J-E-E.
I have to see this.
And so everybody turned her down. See, Raji, botched. There you go. Okay.
Oh,
look at that one. Yeah, that
That's
one. That's all from that foreign body put in.
Dude, she looks like those AI fruit videos.
Right.
Is that the caulking thing
that
you're talking about?
That is the caulking material. Yeah. So everybody turned her down, right? No one would take her on because the problem is if you try to remove those, you can kill the skin or the nerves below it and you have a worse problem.
Yeah.
And everybody was afraid that the immune system was going to overreact. So we turned her down that season.
Sure.
But between seasons, I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I thought to myself, I know how to do this safely.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah. So I thought to myself, instead of taking the entire mass out, take the central 2/3 out. So at least it lays flat.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So, because you could feel your bones.
Of course. Yeah.
Like concrete.
Yeah.
Right. So I took my buddy's orthopedic saws. My best friend's an orthopedic surgeon, my med school roommate.
Okay.
And I sawed out the central 2/3 of all of those masses.
Okay.
And
dude, she needs to meet up with her
perpendicular. Look at her on the left. Yeah. Like the left. Yeah, go
far
over.
Far left?
Yeah.
Like, that's her?
Oh, wow. The shoe looks like now?
Yeah.
Oh, my. I mean, you did a phenomenal job.
Way better. Yeah.
Wow.
So that was sort of my biggest fix.
What made you, were you thinking about that before you went to sleep or you just like woke up?
Weirdly, every single night practically when I would lie over, I go, I just can't believe she has to walk around. She's so sweet.
Yeah.
And you know, you can't go anywhere. You can't get a job. You can't date. You can't do anything when you look like that. Right.
Yeah.
So I I just had an epiphany. I remember, I actually remember what time it was. It was like 3:38. I thought, why do I have to take the whole thing out? Just take most of it out and leave the top and the bottom. Because if you leave the bottom, you're not killing the nerves. If you leave the top, you're not destroying the blood supply to the skin. The skin will survive. And it worked.
That's so awesome.
It worked. I did a few, you know, I took a couple out and then wait and see if it worked.
Yeah.
It was probably a slow process.
It was a slow process, but that was her the next morning. Look at that one.
What are some of the...
I mean, you changed this woman's life.
Yeah, it was good.
I mean, how...
She still sends me Christmas cards every year.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, like, I mean, how appreciative... Like,
what are some of the ones that you guys turned down on Botched?
We turned down... So every episode, we turn one patient down.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Because they either have unrealistic expectations or they're crazy.
Yeah.
Or it's just too dangerous, right? So if someone wants to go bigger, they've got, you know, giant breasts.
Right.
And their areolas have super dilated like this.
Oh, because those grow with it.
Because those grow with it. And they said, can you reduce my areola? Like, yeah, I can do that if you'll let me take your breast implants down.
Oh, it's a one for one.
Yes. And they go, no. They say, well, we're turning you down because it's not going to work.
Right.
Or if they've had 15 operations and they want a 16th one to be perfect.
I have a question. I don't want to get you in trouble and you can say no. Are there any celebrities that you see who just have awful plastic surgery? And feel free to say,
I'll be honest with you. So I think celebrities are having really, really good plastic surgery right now. Yeah. The only thing I would say is that some of them are with these new kind of facelifts that we're doing. Some of them, their face is different. They're changing. And, you know, sometimes, like you look, I don't want to name any particular celebrity, but.
Bradley Cooper.
Okay, that's male. We can talk about, let's talk about male plastic surgery. Let's talk about men, because men.
Zac Efron.
Okay, the same plastic surgeons doing these A-list females and doing a great job are doing these A-list males, but they're doing it wrong. That's why they look so weird.
So what's the difference?
Okay, so a woman, you can't really over-feminize a woman.
Oh, interesting.
Oh,
great point.
Wow. Yeah, okay.
But like, look at you guys, both of you guys, young, great looking guys, but you both naturally have a little lidding on your upper eyelids. Okay. You just do.
Fuck.
I've heard about this where you go in for a couple CCs and like, well, did you want to fix your chin too? And you're like, my chin? They're like, well, yeah, your left ear.
But think about it. Look, he has a little excess upper eyelid skin. Don't raise your brows.
No, okay.
Just look at
see?
Oh, wow.
And
oh,
so
fuck.
Shit. No, that's called.
I'll give you 20 grand.
It's called being a male.
Okay, we all have that.
Yeah. Okay? So if I take either one of you right now and take all that skin away, which you do on females, you're going to look completely different and weird instantly with a 20-minute operation. And so they're doing female plastic surgery on these men changing their face forever.
Holy shit. Oh, no. And are they showing them like a before and after of like what they could look like? Or are they just like, do what you did for so-and-so?
I don't know what they're probably telling me. Oh, the recovery's nothing. You're going to look great. I hope it leaks out so everybody knows I did you. You know?
Right. So,
but now, you know, you look at these guys, you go, because I mean, look, okay, everybody's been asking me about two people recently. And I'm not saying they've had plastic surgery, right? But everyone's asking me about Jim Carrey.
Yes.
And Bradley Cooper. Look at the upper eyelid skin on Jim Carrey right there.
Well, I think the Jim Carrey one, that was proven that it wasn't him.
No, that was BS. That is him.
That's, him. Not,
it's him.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So if you look at the upper lids.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Look at that one. That's a good one. Where's the upper lid? You know, it's just, you need upper lid skin. Or look at Bradley Cooper.
But why is his eyes different color?
Yeah, I don't know. But believe me, that is Jim Carrey. Trust me.
Okay.
Okay, look at that one on the left. The Bradley Cooper, that one.
You're right. He looks more feminine.
I mean, you don't want to feminize.
Wow. Of course you're right, but you're right. Like, look at the eyelids.
I know.
He looks like a woman.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
See, I have this theory. Certain guys who are feminine looking, who are pretty, can have plastic surgery and they look great. Yes. Rob Lowe, Stamos, Brad Pitt.
His facelift looked awesome.
These are feminine looking guys. So you're okay to do feminizing plastic surgery on them because they're pretty. But you take a guy like, you know, Bradley Cooper is sort of a, can you imagine you do that to Clooney? He'd look, see, okay, look at the, Yeah, he worked on it. And whoever did him, if he was done, left some skin of his upper eyelid. See, they didn't blow it.
Yeah, I mean, dude, he
looked. If you took all that skin away from his upper eyelids, he would look unrecognizable.
I mean, he is so hot. It's unbelievable. And he got that facelift, and it looks so good. We see before and after real quick?
Yeah, he looks great.
Wow. I mean, bro, early Brad Pitt was something.
But look at the after on the left, if that's an after. And look, he's tons of upper eyelid skin still left.
Right.
So the surgeon did that, was very aware, hey, man, I'm not going to feminize this guy.
Yeah. I mean, hot.
Jeez.
You'd go there, huh? If you're into that?
Oh, I'm into that, I would go there if I'm not into it.
Yeah, okay.
If he presented himself, what am I saying? No, oh no, I'm okay, Brad Pitt? Sure, dude.
Goddamn.
Ladies and gents, this podcast is sponsored from our friends at DraftKings. Switch up the way you play slots with new flex spins on Golden Nugget Online Casino. Now you can earn and redeem spins on the slots you actually want to play, okay? New Golden Nugget players get 500 flex spins on your choice of over 100 slots. Just play $5 to unlock 50 spins a freaking day for 10 days. Use your flex spins across a variety of popular slots like Huff and More Puff, Cash, Eruption, Cleopatra, and more. The choice is yours. Download the app today and sign up with our code STIFFSOCKS to make any moment golden. In partnership with Golden Nugget Online Casino, gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Please play responsibly. 21 plus, physically present in Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia only. Void in Ontario. Non-withdrawable spins issued as 50 spins per day for 10 days. Valid for select games only and expire each day after 24 hours. See terms at goldennuggetcasino.com/promos. Ends June 28th at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time.
Goddamn. What about the people who do like the body modifications where they put like horns in their forehead or something? Is that bad for you?
Well
yeah, they're going to go to hell.
What about splitting the tongue?
The split tongue. See, super weird. Back in his single days, a nice lady, maybe on Raya or one of these dating apps, or maybe just a website where people might be naked.
Yes.
He might Google a split tongue thing and be like,
how about scarification? People who won't purposely have scars put on their body.
No.
Yeah, or a guy came into botch, wanted his nipples removed.
Why?
Yeah, because he just wanted
He's
that
a swimmer?
Look. You know, tits on a bull. What's the point of him? Not a man, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So he
just
wanted
no tits.
He wanted them gone. And of course, we said, yeah, no, because it's not an accepted procedure. But it's weird. These body mod guys, we all think they're freaky, right? But we plastic surgeons body modified people until it became accepted procedures.
Sure.
So I don't think it's really that. I mean, when you look weird, that's one thing. Once pointy ears.
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
You know.
What do you think? What do you think the surgery of the future? So BBL is like the newest big one, whatever. What do you think the one in 10 years is going to be? Is there any like feel on that?
Yeah, I think where we're going for sure, where we hope to go. Well, plastic surgeons don't hope this, but this is hopefully where we're going with AI is, do you believe, so I went to med school in 1980, I graduated in 1986, okay? Good. If you would have told me in 1986 that in 2026, which is what, 40 years later, you're still going to be taking a scalpel and a scissors and cutting open the face and disrupting the blood vessels and the nerves, and then pulling it back, cutting the X off, and stitching it closed. I go, no way. 40 years from now?
Yeah.
40 years from now, 2026, we'll be lasering. Yeah. We'll be doing skin tightening with machines, with energy transmission devices that put collagen in or tighten the elastin or whatever. And it's still pretty barbaric that we cut off, and stitch.
And
think how crazy that is.
Is that? And I'm ignorant to this. Is that still how they like they?
That's how we do it.
Literally, like, the most simple way to say it, a facelift is like you cut and just pull the skin back.
Oh, not only that, we do it deeper now. We go in deeper layers. We used to do it like just the skin and a little bit of fat.
Yeah.
Now we go below the muscles, right where the nerves are, to get a longer lasting result. It's even more dangerous now and more barbaric than it ever has been. So we do have these devices where you go zzz, 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 right, and you apply it to the skin and try to get the skin to tighten up.
Okay.
But they're not—they're just not very good yet.
Oh, so that's what you're saying—the future
that's
thing is
the future of plastic.
And it's hard
surgery
to find guinea pigs for that.
Yes, but that's the future of plastic surgery: lasers and radio frequency and all that kind of
stuff. So effectively, I just need to clarify. So you're saying that in the future there will be no cutting.
You would hope so.
Lasers and everything, sort of just to do it internally without cutting.
Yes, or deliver energy to get the skin and the sort of the architectural, structural, the proteins to tighten up the way they are when you're younger.
So is there that's so fascinating? Is there anything that you can do? Before you do like a faceless whatever, like if you're like, oh, like, you know, retinol and yeah. diet and all
what
that stuff.
What about the mask girls wear? It's white with the red lights.
Oh yeah. Those are good.
Those work.
They all kind of meh. They all kind of sort of work. Obviously right now the hot thing is the peptides.
Yeah.
And do they
please.
Work?
Yes, 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 yes. Yes. So sorry. So two different
is
questions.
What is a peptide?
So,
oh, sorry.
No. Well, a peptide
still
is
mouth shut.
A peptide is amino acids. Put together, okay. Less than 40 short chains of amino acids put together. That's a peptide. And a whole bunch of peptides put together is a protein. So collagen is a big protein molecule that's in your skin that holds your skin together like glue. Well, those are made up of little amino acids. So you can take amino acids, and just as long as they're below 40, they're called peptides, and they're not completely illegal. Otherwise, they're drugs if they're more than 40. And you inject them in the body, and they signal to some organ to do something, right? So a peptide, GLP-1 is a peptide.
And that's in the Ozempic category?
Yeah, Ozempic is a peptide. Insulin's a peptide. Growth hormone's a peptide. Those are all FDA-approved peptides.
FDA?
Yes. But then there's all the other peptides that we're all experimenting with that are these short chain amino acid drugs that we're injecting based on rat data, right? Based on nothing, you know, and saying, every gym bro and every chiropractor and a lot of doctors are online going, you need GHKCU, you need BPC-157, TB-500, Wolverine to heal your injuries. And by the way, some of it kind of sort of works, but they're not, pharmacies don't make them. So you have to go to black market, gray market, China. It's crazy time right now.
How do you know what you need? Like, is there like you give blood and they go, you need, you're deficient in XYZ, so you need these peptides?
Well, if someone said to you, hey, you know, you're a 38-year-old woman said, hey, you want your hair, skin, and nails to look better and tighter? Go inject this in your belly 5 times a week. This is called GHKCU. And you go, does it work? And they go, oh, it works. No one knows if it really works or not.
Oh, so it's the front of it right now.
Yes. It's okay. The wild, wild west. It's the weirdest time.
But it's right also now. Getting a little bit where like steroids in a gym locker room. Because I see this guy on Instagram. He literally posts in a story, peptides, hit me up. Instagram.
It's exactly that way.
But so that makes it so sketchy.
But steroids work. They have a lot of side effects, but steroids, as you know, trenbolone, you know,
I took D-bol. I took a whole D-bol.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Did
I was in college. It worked.
Yeah.
I went from like 150 to 162 straight muscle. Dude, and I'm like not big. These huge, what are these called? Traps wherever. Yeah. Just walking, like looking like an idiot. It worked.
Yeah, it worked. I mean, look.
I got angry over nothing.
Clavicular started taking it, 14, 13?
Steroids or
testosterone? Steroids.
Or testosterone.
Yeah. Gotcha. Which is a steroid, which is the most common steroid, most effective steroid. So, you know, with these peptides, at least with steroids, they've been around long enough. Mm-hmm. You know they work. The problem is, where are the gym bros getting them? You know, where are they made? You don't know.
Yeah, like Wuhan, probably.
Probably. Probably.
That's terrifying. I just feel like peptides are moving so fast that
they are.
People are just doing them and then researching it, like, what did I just put in my body?
That's exactly right. And what's going to happen 20 years from now when we're growing third heads and cancers? And the big theoretical concern with this Wolverine, the TB-500, I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but it's huge, is that it supposedly causes angiogenesis, new blood vessel growth.
Okay.
If that's true, that's great for healing your injuries. But if you have sort of an occult tumor, a hidden tumor somewhere, and you're feeding it with more blood vessels, it's going to speed up. So no one really knows. It's the weirdest time in the history of medicine
right now. Do you think some of these peptides will actually be proven and work and do what they say?
The problem is that to do a real human study, like you do when you try to get something FDA approved, it's like $1 billion or $2 billion. So Eli Lilly spends that money, you know, a pharmaceutical company spends that money, then they get patent protection and they get to sell it for 30 years before somebody can knock it off.
Jesus.
These peptides, no one's going to test them because you can't get patent protection on them.
Oh, what? Hold on. Why?
Because they're only, because they're short chain. There's like nothing unique about them to convince the patent trademark office that this is so different, unique. Give me a patent on them. They go, no, it's just 39 amino acids put together. So no one's going to spend any money testing these. Now, I don't want to get political. That's boring. But, you know, RFK Jr. is totally into these peptides.
What do you mean? Yes. What do you mean?
I know. He's such a, I know. He's such a, anyway, if you're so into these peptides, RFK Jr., spend a few billion dollars of the government's money and do some human studies and test them, knowing people are going to use them. Yeah. Instead, he's basically saying he's taken it from category 3 to category 2, meaning you can start using them now legally. So he's.
But we even buy them. Are doctors prescribing them, or is it all like black market?
Doctors are prescribing them. They are. I can write you a prescription for a peptide. You can take it to a compounding pharmacy, which has sort of a kind of a license, kind of sorta.
That's so sketchy, man.
And they'll make it for you, and then that's the best way to get it. Get it from a doctor who knows peptides like I do. I don't prescribe them because I'm a little too high profile to be prescribing illegal substances. Yeah. Medical board. Last thing I need is Harvey Levin going, hey, Terry, the FDA is suing you and you know, we're going to put it on TMZ. You want to make a comment?
God.
By the way, it's funny. When a guy like me gets sued, do you know how I find out? I don't get a process server coming in the mail or somebody coming to my house going, here, and handing this to me. I get TMZ calling me and they go, dude, you got sued. I go, you're kidding. They go, yeah. I go, shit. And I go, how do they know? Because the clerks at the courthouses,
yes,
when a lawsuit comes by, they get $200 when they call TMZ and say, oh, this celebrity got sued. That's how TMZ knows everything first.
Yeah,
before we even know.
I'm reading that Tiger doc, and there's a whole, I mean, the back half of the book is all about how he got in trouble. But yes, the whole thing is about like, or the chapter I'm in right now is the whole TMZ, like have they have like a crazy like nuanced network, yes, of like all they're like spies essentially, like people that work valet, people that work whatever, and they're, yeah, it's like $200.
Everybody's trying to make a quick buck
for real.
What are some of the lawsuits you've been involved or people have tried to sue you over?
So
I have
one now.
Oh shit!
Oh, no,
that I put in. This woman says that 15 years ago, I put this stuff in her breast, this mesh in her breasts. And then 15 years later, she had a problem from it. Some doctor operated on her and he goes, who did your last surgery? Oh, the botch doctor. Oh, I found this stuff in there. First of all, no one has any records.
Yeah, that's like when they find a thumb in Chili's.
Secondly,
like Wendy's.
I don't put this mesh in. It's complete BS. So they'd she hires a lawyer who sends to the wrong address this notice of intent to sue me and like try to get a extort me for a settlement, but it went to the wrong address. So I never
fire
got it.
Lawyer.
So they sued me and I'm on vacation in Florida, actually getting on a private plane, going to St. Bart's or something, you know, like one of those cool moments.
Hey, now.
Richard Marx was a famous rock star from the 80s.
Yeah, yeah. Terry.
Me and my wife, this is like, you know, we're on like a Challenger 650 or something. It's like, okay, this is cool.
I don't even know what that is, but
it sounds
awesome.
Wealthy,
yeah,
dude. Yeah.
Yeah. And I get on and all of a sudden I look at my phone, it's TMZ, and I go, uh-oh. I said, hopefully they won't ask me a question about some celebrity. And I go, hello? And they go, Terry. And I go, oh,
wow.
And I go, he goes, yeah, you got sued, dude. And I go, I did. I go, can you wait till the land? He goes, no, we're going to put it out.
No.
And he goes, what do you say? I go, well, give me some details about this thing. They go, well, it's this lady who says you put this stuff. And I go, what? So I called my office. My office goes, that was 15 years ago. We don't have any records. So it's a total frivolous lawsuit. But at least I got to say to TMZ a comment that they put in the headline.
Great.
So it wasn't just botch doctor, botch breasts, you know?
Yeah.
That was the worst thing about having the name botched on your TV show.
Yeah,
Think about that.
Right.
That's like a show called Bombing, and then the joke doesn't look good, yeah.
Totally. You know, by the way, botched before it came out was called Nip Fucked.
Oh, I love
that. That was his original Nip-Tucked, right? Yeah. It's called Nip F asterisk K-E-D.
Yeah.
And we thought this is the coolest name for a TV show ever, Nip Fox, you know? And then like 4 days before the first episode was going to come out, we got a call. They go, hey, the advertisers didn't like the F-word in there.
Yeah.
And we went, oh, okay, so what are they going to call it? They're going to call it Botch. We went, no, because it sounds like we're saying every
you
time
are messing it,
was,
it up,
or, yes. Or the doctor, it was messed up.
Which,
by
in some weird way, does get more people to watch because they want to see like you fuck up, and then you guys never do.
Right.
So they're like, oh, it's like a weird.
It is. We're worried that the first mess up we have. Oh, the botch doctor botch me. Right. Oh, you know the headline.
Of course.
But it turns out to be this great name that people.
It's iconic.
It's iconic.
The show Nip-Tucked. What did that do for everyone's like profile in that? Because that was such a massive show. That was kind of my first like idea of like what plastic surgery was. I was like a kid watching it.
I think it was the first show that popularized plastic surgery.
Yeah.
And it started the conversation. People became more comfortable talking about plastic surgery because back then no one would admit to anything. They wouldn't admit to breast augmentation, liposuction, Botox, nothing. And now major celebrities go, yeah, I had a facelift. Which is so smart, by the way. If you're going to look different. Mm-hmm.
Just admit it.
Everybody goes, oh, that's okay. If you're going to admit it, who cares? I know. Who cares?
So I want to talk about your early days. Where you said you graduated in 96. The early days.
No, 86. Med school.
86. Okay. So the early days when you were in the ER and you're seeing, what's some of the crazy stuff you saw in that?
So I was chief resident in general surgery.
There
so
you go.
You're
damn.
Yeah, you're like.
You're the final boss.
You're the man. Okay. So I, you know, when there was a big stabbing, gunshot wound, car accident, whatever, you bring your team down. You go down there with your whole team. You know, this is what the pit really should be.
Yeah.
The general surgery team. And I remember these two, quick story, these two guys, these brothers, okay. One guy, skinny little brother, stabs his chunky brother like 15 times.
Oh,
all right.
Okay.
And the chunky brother stabs his skinny brother one time. Right here in the chest. And so everybody, they both came at the same time. They're going, F you, F you, F you. We're putting the bed next to each other. And this is called a trauma run because somebody may die and we may have to emergently operate on them. So it's like, okay, let's go. A bunch of multi-stab wounds in the ER. So we're all surrounding the chunky guy because he's got 15 stab wounds. It looks like he could go down any second. We have to open him up right there. So my team's descending on him, starting IVs, putting the tubes in, measuring, getting x-rays. Okay, what's our plan? What's injured? Do we take him to the operating room? We open his chest, open his abdomen. Whereas the skinny guy, I go over to the skinny guy while my team's lining up the chunky guy with all the stab wounds. I go, how you doing, man? He goes, I'm all right. And I go, how you feeling? He goes, I'm thirsty. I'm really thirsty. And thirst is a very significant sign of bleeding inside.
Really?
Sudden severe thirst.
Really?
You're bleeding out.
Oh, that's going to freak me out. Now every time I'm thirsty, I'm going to be like, I'm bleeding.
So I go like this. I go, what do you mean you're thirsty? He goes, I'm just really thirsty. And I go, okay. So I grab what's called a thoracotomy tray, which is this opening up the chest tray.
Okay.
Okay. I pull it over and I very slowly open up the thoracotomy tray that has the rib spreaders in it, right? You remember, he's got this little stab wound over the left chest.
Oh,
and all of a sudden he just goes, he goes flatline, cardiac arrest. And I go, whoa, 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 to my team. I go, here, here, here. So I go, whoosh, I spray him with lidocaine, with a betadine, just to get some kind of antiseptic on him. I take this huge scalpel, cut open between the fourth and fifth rib, put the rib spreader in, spread the ribs, expose the heart, and there's a single hole in the heart going, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh.
Oh.
I put my finger on it, okay, and I go, I look at my team, I go, wow.
I need a band-aid.
And my juniors, you know, your juniors are your support group. You know,
sure.
Second year guys, I'm a seventh year guy. I look at me, I go, cool, right? They go, yeah. And I go, okay, so you take this special suture that has this very soft thing through it so that when you put the stitch on one side of the hole through the other, it leaves like a little Q-tip so it doesn't tear through the muscle of the heart.
Okay.
So it leaves like this compression. And I put it in, it went from whoosh, whoosh to stopped. And I look around and I go, that's right.
Yeah. Look what I did. Yeah.
And you know, beep, 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 comes back. We take him up to the operating room, wash him out, you know, make sure he doesn't have any other injuries, close up his chest. And I remember 2 weeks later, I'm post-call. We've been up all night operating like crazy. And I hear this, Dr. Dubrow. And I go, I look over at this guy, and it's him walking out.
Oh, cool.
Being discharged. And he goes, he looks at me, he goes, thanks, man. And I go, yeah, no problem.
Oh, my God.
And my team looks at me like, and I go, we go, it was just, yeah.
Goddamn.
Ladies and gents, the podcast is sponsored by our friends at Chubbies. Fellas, springtime is here, and you know what that means. It's the time to get those thighs breathing, dude. Whether you're playing a round of golf with the fellas, hitting up beer garden, or visiting an actual garden, Chubbies has you covered for all the good vibes that warm weather brings, dude. Bright polos that demand attention, check, okay? Killer shorts that show off those beautiful thighs, double check. Chubbies original shorts provide that classic look for a fresh vibe and a modern fit. They're designed for comfort, built for freaking stretch, and designed to give you thigh-high confidence. And if you're hitting up the pool or beach, their classic aligned swim collection has your new favorite trunk for those sunny days. We're talking serious stuff, dangerously flexible and incredibly quick-drying swim trunks. At the end of the day, your wardrobe deserves a springtime upgrade. And gents, experience unmatched comfort and style with Chubby's iconic original stretch shorts, okay? I have them, Trev's have them, we freaking love them, dude. Depending on how much thigh you're looking to show, I'm looking to show a lot of thigh, okay? Chubby's makes them in 4-inch, 5.5 inches, which is a lot. 5.5 inches is a lot. And 7-inch inseams. Those shorts have the stretchiest fabric for ultimate flexibility while maintaining a perfectly tailored fit. Okay, so whether you're getting dressed for your freaking workday or workout or weekend getaway, Chubbies has you covered. Okay, for a limited time, Chubbies is giving our viewers 20% off your order with our code STIFF at chubbyshorts.com. That is code STIFF at chubbyshorts.com. Support our show and tell them we sent you. Don't blend in with the crowd. Okay, stand out with Chubbies.
Goddamn.
So how do you do all that at a night at work and then just go home and like, you're like, yeah, it's just it's a bowl of cereal.
Like coolest thing ever.
I feel like nobody can relate to what you've seen. Like that's, so you're, but like, is it weird just being able to save someone's life like that? Then you're also just like at a restaurant that same night. Like, is it weird just like how intense your work is to just normal life?
Yeah, you know.
Or it becomes normal to you over time.
Listen, if you put me on stage to do stand-up, okay.
Let's do it.
Remember the first time you did that?
Of course.
Yes.
Freaked, right?
Freaked. Awful.
Okay. Now you do it. It's what you do, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you're still a little nervous probably getting up there with particularly with new material, but it's what you do. It's what we do. And we do it. You know, training and surgery is so intense, right? We used to work 148 hours a week. There's 168 hours a week, right? 27 times 24 is 168. We would be awake working 148 of those. So
what type of peptides are fueling that?
Cocaine.
Surgery, the adrenaline of learning how to be a surgeon.
That is true.
It's, you know, it's very similar, I'm sure, to being in combat, except you're not in danger.
Mm.
But you are a little bit in danger because if you blow it,
if you fuck
the next day or once a week, we have this thing called Morbidity Mortality Conference where the professors sit back. You've probably seen this on TV shows. The professors sit back there. You tell what happened this last week, how many people died, how many emergency operations, and they critique you.
Ugh.
Yeah, no lawyers are allowed there. And they're going, why don't you just kill the guy, man? You know,
No.
So you're going to have to face the professors the next day.
So you're totally immune to any of that.
You're except you could get fired if you blow it, if you're incompetent. Right. But it's scary, but totally cool.
Do you feel like a lot of surgeons have like this like God complex type of thing? Because you're like, you're literally, to your point, right? You're like saving people on a daily basis. And then you go to a restaurant and like the valet is not running fast enough. And you're like, I saved 75
I'll
people.
I'll botch your legs.
Yeah.
I think a lot of dicks go into surgery. So if you're a dick going to surgery, you're just a dick surgeon, right?
I understand.
So okay, it tends to attract a certain kind of personality. But you know, it's funny. There was a 2 week period 2 months ago or 3 months ago where I go out, I like to go out to eat.
Yeah.
I like to eat at nice restaurants. Yeah. Like my favorite thing to do, right? And like in a 2 week period, two people choked on their food in a 2 week period.
Oh my God.
Two people. And I walk up to one and I did the like Heimlich, and it didn't work. And I went, because if that doesn't work, then you've got to theoretically slice their neck open to get an airway.
We need a steak knife.
Yeah, it's totally that, right? You've got like 4 minutes. And so I went twice and it didn't work. I thought, am I really going to do this in this restaurant? Am I really going to lay this person down when they pass out and slice their neck open? And I went, oh, fuck it. I just went, ah! And it, boom, it came out.
Oh.
And I saved their life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pay my bill right now.
Yeah. I was going to say, please tell me you got a free
By the way, bingo.
Yeah, good. Yeah,
so hold on. I'm at Mr. Chow's, Beverly Hills. Okay. If you haven't been, amazing. Okay. And she sits back down, she cries, and then they kind of got it together and actually kept eating after that. You would think the night would be over.
Oh, I'll be like, let me get oatmeal or I'm going home.
I'd immediately get on the phone with TMZ and be like, you guys got this publicity, right?
Right away. By the way, it was covered on TMZ.
Hey, there we go.
So I thought, okay. So I sat back down and my wife, I'm looking at my wife, I'm going, yeah, you like that? You want some of this, huh? A little of this in action later, baby? And so I thought, and the check came and I thought, okay. You know,
fuck no.
There'll just be a fortune cookie. There won't actually be a bill because they're going to take care of it. Nope.
Didn't even
not only did they
put
not
put the shrimp back in her mouth. What the hell?
Mr. Chow's didn't comp my meal either.
Wow.
So a lawsuit of somebody dying in the restaurant or one free meal.
Well, that's a good point. There's a thing called the Good Samaritan Law.
Oh, so, is that like where if you are trained and in the area, like when they're on a plane, like we need a doctor.
That's right. There's Holy a law shit. In... It's certainly in California. It's probably in most states by now.
If you're equipped.
If you don't have, if you've never met the person, if you don't have any duty to the patient, you can't be sued theoretically for malpractice.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, good.
Obviously, if it's super reckless, they would still try to sue you. If it's reckless, if it's really stupid what you did.
Right.
But they wouldn't be able
He's
to.
He's choking. You hit him with a chair.
Yeah.
That's what, and what was this lady choking on?
Like a walnut? I think it was Szechuan beef. Yeah. Because a big ugly piece of beef.
I mean, Szechuan, pay my bill. Yeah. I mean, are you insane?
They just went back and sat back there. Thank you so much.
And so TMZ heard about it, and a week later, I was coming out of
the closet,
Mr. Chow's.
Sorry, it was there a long time ago. By the way,
I was coming out of Mr. Chow's, and the dude was there with the TMZ thing, and he goes, "Hey Terry, I heard that you saved someone's life," and I go, "Yeah." And I was the problem is you always want TMZ to interview you. When you're going into a restaurant, not when you're two martinis.
But that's like, what TMZ wants.
I know.
They want Terry a little boozed up.
You're an unplugged moron when you're coming out.
Yeah,
right?
I saved that bitch's life.
And
I go, headline.
And you can see, you go on TMZ and see it. I go, so this is what happened.
Right? Yeah.
I might have been three martinis. So I go, I go, come here. I take my wife and I go, this is what I did. I go, huh, and it didn't work. And I go, huh, and it didn't work. And then I go, huh, and it worked. And I go, and they fucking didn't pay for my
meal. No! No, you didn't.
You need, you need a card to go back to forever. Chipotle has like a card for life. You need a Mr. Chow's card for
Thank
life.
Thank you. I would think so.
That's
and then
insane.
It comes out of TMZ. And I would think, oh, so I went to like Mr. Chow's like a week later thinking, they're going to not allow me in or are they going to comp my meal? One or the other.
Oh, right.
Nothing. Didn't bring it up. Yeah.
Damn.
And then maybe 7 nights later, I'm at another restaurant. I swear to God, the person at the table next to me chokes on.
And before
her
you
food.
Say anything, you go, are you going to pay for my
I
meal?
I said, what's the deal here? Don't dine and dash. Don't choke and dash on me.
Choke and dash. That's great.
So,
same thing. You had to do the Heimlich?
Heimlich totally worked.
Great.
You're like a human Swiss
and they
knife.
Didn't
what?
There's no. another one.
Again?
Didn't pay for my meal. I know. So
they probably thought you were like some like godsend like angel, like you weren't even just sitting there.
Well, what's weird is I'm in Mr. Chow's for the first one, and you know, you walk in, you wonder, does anybody recognize me? Because you know, I'm a C-list celebrity, so I'm, you know, my level, you're going, who's recognizing me? Right? And so I walk
Dude, Beverly
in.
Beverly Hills, are you kidding me? All these people, everybody who's ever got any augmentation on the body, you're like,
yes.
That's the goat
well,
right there.
Well, so of course, you know, no one turns around when I walk in, I go, oh, this is not fun. No one knows.
Yeah, this first round sucks. Right.
And so
you start choking for the attention?
Three tables over, this person chokes, and all of a sudden, everybody goes, hey, Dr. DeBrow, go!
Oh,
and I
that,
went, oh, now
you
you're willing to
recognize me.
Know
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Like, somebody film this. Put it on Snapchat.
Yes. So.
That's insane.
Has that ever happened where you, someone's, you know, whatever, and you're looking around, you're like, can another doctor do this? I'm tired.
By the way, that's a really good, so when you're on an airplane, and this has happened to me twice.
Okay.
Okay. You're on the airplane, and all of a sudden, is there a doctor on? Is there a doctor?
I thought
there
was only
here?
Movies. This is real?
Oh, this happens. all the
time. We got a peanut allergy. Let him die.
Whatever it is. Is there a doctor? Excuse me. Is there? And we're like flying to Paris or something, my wife and I. And I got my, so my wife is next to me, of course. Oh, no, we're, and her sister is on the row over in first class.
Okay, okay.
So her sister looks over at me and goes, I go,
yeah,
I don't want to go there.
No, I'm on six Vicodin and three martinis. I can't even, I don't even know where I am.
It's a flying bar after
all. It's a flying bar, yeah.
So I go, she's looking at me like, go over. I go, shut up, shut up. Because on a typical flight, there's probably like four doctors, right?
Is there really?
Yeah, usually. Yeah, so I go, and I don't say anything. And then another minute goes by. Is there a doctor on board? And she's going, are you going to go over there? I'm going, shut up. There's other doctors here. Leave me alone.
Yeah, there's a chiropractor right there. He's fine.
Yeah, there's a medical marijuana doctor somewhere.
Right, because the last thing you want
is Dr. Pepper. Fucking do it.
Right, is you're flying, you know, over an ocean 2 hours away from the nearest airport.
Yeah, let him
die.
And
you've got to, like, sit here in the galley, you know, pumping oxygen to this person for 2 hours.
No.
You, if you're on it, you're there. Your flight, you're, that's what you're doing.
Oh my God. Holy shit.
Yeah.
You're there until they're like in a hospital. You're
there till they land, right?
Oh my God.
So I don't, and finally she goes, he's a doctor. And I'm thinking, you bitch. So I get up, I go, okay. So I go back there into coach. Okay, couldn't have happened.
And you're disgusted.
Let the pores die.
And I walk back there and I want to see, you know, backstage pass. Okay, I'm here. Yeah. Anyway, because I was, and so I go over there and there's like four guys attending to this really sick looking person.
Oh, no.
So I walk up to the first guy, I go, hey, what kind of doctor are you? And he goes, I'm a dentist. I go, go sit down, man. All right.
He's so like, shouldn't have a cavity, bitch. Move out of the way.
Right. And then I go to the other guy. I go, what kind of doctor are you? He goes, I'm thinking, you know, be a, like a real doctor so you can do this. Yeah. So I go back to him. And he goes, I'm a radiologist. I go, oh, go sit down. And then I go to the third guy. He's like, I go, what kind of doctor are you? And he goes, I'm a chiropractor. I go, okay.
Oh.
All right. And you're here?
Yeah.
And then the last guy who's tending to this person who looks really bad. I go, hey, what kind of doctor are you? He goes, I'm an ICU doctor. I go, bingo!
Yeah, I'm going back to my seat. Dude, that's awesome. Good.
So back to my seat. I'll have another cocktail.
Awesome.
You have the chiropractor working on your back in first class.
Right, I know.
Yeah.
You're cardiac arrest and he's, you know.
Dude, what a great story. That literally sounds like a setup for like a bar joke story or something. It's like five doctors on a plane. Like,
right.
That's, oh my God. And what was wrong with the person?
I think he was diabetic.
Ah.
He was sick before he got on the plane. And he still got on the plane for a long flight.
That's a long flight.
And he probably had he was sick. He gets on this flight and just like, let's see if I can make it. And I know that I went back there to see him like 45 minutes later or something. And he's in the that poor ICU doctors back there starting IVs, doing this thing. And I go, are you okay? He looks at me like, they don't have anything. I go, yeah, it's a bummer. I'm going back to my seat.
Oh, no.
I mean, you know.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
What am I going to do?
Throw them in the ocean. That's what I would do.
Here's an olive.
You know, take a little bump off your nose while I'm there.
Yeah.
Can I ask you the most interview question ever? How did you get into all this? What was the impetus for you to like become a doctor? Like at first?
When I went to college, I didn't know what I wanted because no one in my family was in healthcare or anything. And my stepfather was a plumber. I had no idea what to do. And someone said to me, I go, I was a good, really good student. I go, well, maybe what should I do with my life? Someone said, be a dentist. So I said, okay, because dentistry is kind of, it's a nice career. They do well, good job security. So I went to college to be a dentist, but then I volunteered for a dentist for a day and I went, oh God.
Now I see why you guys are so suicidal.
This is exactly Monday morning, 55, white guy, dentist kills himself. That's like the pattern. And I go, I don't want to do this. So I volunteered in the emergency room at Yale New Haven Hospital. And I went to the hospital there in the ER and I walked in and man, the residents were like the young, smart, studly, confident, cool dudes. And I love the smell of the hospital and all those gunshot wounds coming. I go, okay. And you know, you can see my personality sort of right for a high energy thing.
Yeah,
I go,
totally.
This is everything.
And so, so different from dentistry.
Yes. And
when
so
somebody
I
shows
thought,
up with worse a cavity.
Exactly. Right.
Like, this person was shot in the head with a bow and arrow. Yeah, yeah. What is the most mangled you ever saw somebody show up to the emergency room?
You know, the worst ones are the jumpers. Yeah.
Oh no.
Those are bad. The jumpers.
Yeah. Oh no.
Because they come in alive, but there's not a lot. What you want is a penetrate. Those are called blunt trauma, right? Blunt trauma, it, you know, it contuses the heart and the lungs, and there's nothing you want holes to plug, right? That's the best thing to save someone's life. Yeah. So penetrating injuries, stab wounds, gunshot wounds, those are like the coolest. You stop the bleeding, take the organ out that's damaged, you know, whatever you need to do, and they recover. But when they jump from five stories, it's just all internal. And you try to keep them alive, but there's not like you can take them to the operating room and open them up and like fix a contused liver or something, unless it's bleeding.
My God.
Yeah, that's sort of the worst. Motorcycle injuries can be really
bad. My mom was an ER nurse
bad.
For a while, and that's what she said. Like she called them, golden cycles. Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God, wow.
Yeah.
Those are bad too, because they not only have, they have multiple fractures and the same kind of blunt trauma, but they get the head trauma really badly too. Yeah. So
okay, maybe in a lighter tone, what's the funniest thing? Because there's like been all these reports where it's like a guy gets like a butt plug stuck in his ass or a light bulb. You ever seen anything funny?
So we had a drawer. Okay.
Oh, like at TSA when they take all the weapons, you guys have like a butt plug drawer?
We had a butt plug drawer.
Are you serious?
I swear. And it was like, you know, when you take a medical student's touring various hospitals to see where they want to do their residency there, we'd always take them by the
drawer. You want to see the drawer, kid?
The drawer.
Yeah.
And so you open it, they go, what's that? And you go, what do you think it is? And so, you know, I remember this one guy came in and I'm going to see him and I go, so I get called down in the middle of the night, I'm like an intern. And the ER says, you've got a patient in room 3 or whatever. So I go over there and I go, so what's the deal? He goes, well, you know, I can't poop. And I go, okay. So I'm thinking,
never heard of
they
the
call
Zen?
Me down. I go, so take some, you know, some stool softeners or something.
Yeah. Take goes, a
no, it's been going on for a few days. And I go, well, do you have a history of anything? No. And then I go, okay. So then I get closer to him. You think I'm making this up, but I'm not making this
I love
up,
this.
Okay. And every surgical resident has this kind of story because it's true.
His name is Richard Gere, and then what happened?
Right. So I pulled the gerbil out of his ass. Right. No. And I walk up to him, and I go, well, let me examine your abdomen. And he's slightly tender. But as I sort of take my scalpel and listen to his, you know, his abdominal wall with a stethoscope. Not scalpel, a stethoscope. And I hear this. Yeah.
No.
He had a big, giant vibrator up his butt.
And it was on?
And it was on. And it was so, you know, it went up too far and he couldn't
pull
it out.
Wouldn't he talk a little different? He's like, there's nothing wrong with my stool softener.
Right.
And RFK.
Right.
What did we just figure it out?
Right.
Cheryl, what are you putting up there?
So I go, I said, what's, he goes, you know, and I finally go, dude, do you have something up there? He goes, well, you know, maybe. And at first they deny it. You go, why are you here?
Yeah.
So ultimately, I go to examine him back there, and it's too far up. You can't pull it out. You take a proctoscope in there, and you'd reach your hand, and it's too far up, right?
Reach your hand? That's what he wanted you to do.
No, he'd been doing that already.
Yeah.
And so you got to take those guys to the operating room.
No.
Yeah. So you take them to the operating room. You open up their abdomen.
Oh, my God, dude.
And you push it out. Right, you grab because you can feel it. Right, right.
Was it vibrating the whole time?
I think by the
that's like real life operator. Mm.
Yeah, it's totally on. It was totally on.
How big was it?
It was, you know, foot.
Oh,
God. Yeah.
Goddamn.
Guess what, ladies and gents? You know what time it is. This episode is sponsored by our friends at BetterHelp. Financial stress affects far more than just our bank accounts. Okay, it can take a serious toll on mental health and relationships. With 88% of Americans feeling some form of financial stress at the start of 2026, money worries often brings anxiety, sleep disruptions, and even depression, and are one of the leading sources of conflict for couples. This month, we want to normalize the emotional weight of financial stress and remind people that struggling with money doesn't mean they failed, okay? Sometimes it's just about accessing the right kind of support. I'll say this a million times, and I'll just say it again right now. We are a big proponent here, Stiff Socks, for therapy. I would be lost without therapy. Okay, it just gives you the skill set you need as an adult, you know, to be a better husband, to be a better son, to be a better friend, just to be a better all-around person. Okay, I'm a better adult because of therapy. Highly, highly recommend it. And BetterHelp is just an incredible way to just easily access therapy, dude. It has, you know, quality therapists. BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the U.S. Okay, BetterHelp does the initial matching work for you, which is the hardest thing. Finding a great therapist is just impossible. So BetterHelp does the initial matching work for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps you identify your needs and preferences. And their 30 plus years of experience in industry leading match fulfillment rates means they typically get it right the first time. If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time for their tailored recs. And also BetterHelp is entirely online. So you can do therapy from the comfort of your own home. You can wear whatever the frick you want, dude. Sometimes I do therapy with no pants on, you know, just for a little zhuzh and zhazh, you know what I mean? And I hate every freaking therapist couch. It's horrible, okay? It's like, yo, I'm paying you a lot of money. Maybe you should get a couch that's not IKEA, okay? But your couch is comfortable. You can do it for, you don't have to worry about freaking traffic. So BetterHelp is incredible. So when life feels overwhelming, therapy can help. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com/socks. That's betterhelp.com/socks. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Goddamn.
Why do people lie to doctors? I feel that all the time.
Yes.
What is that in me?
I think you're judgment? Embarrassed. Yeah. Judgment. I think they think it will make no difference sometimes. I mean, right. Never lie to your doctor because it may be the difference between a disaster and being fine, you know, particularly okay. If you're going to have surgery. You'd be surprised. Every once in a while, you'll operate on a guy. I never fall for this anymore, but you'll operate on a guy who immediately after surgery in the recovery room will collapse. Their blood pressure bottoms out, and no matter what you do, you can't get them back, or they're dying actively in front of you, and you have no idea why. And then you look at them, if you've been around the block a few times, and they're really muscular, like shredded, super ripped bodybuilder types. And you go, that guy is in steroid withdrawal. So if you take steroids and you don't tell your doctor, and he doesn't cover you with additional steroids, you go to what's called steroid withdrawal. Because normally your adrenal glands, these little glands that sit on top of your kidneys, when you're in stress, they secrete cortisol and steroid hormones so you can deal with the stress, right?
Yeah.
Well, if they're on steroids, it's like testosterone. Your testes shrink up. You're not making testosterone, right?
Yeah.
If you're on steroids, you're not able to make your own steroids. So when you're stressed out from surgery, you can't deal with the stress of surgery and your body collapses. So you got to give them steroids so that they can get through the thing. If you're taking steroids, your audience is very young. You tell your young audience they're taking steroids. They have to have surgery. Tell the doctors you've been taking steroids, even if it was a year ago, because it can inhibit your own steroid production for a year after you've taken them.
Jesus.
Wow.
So that's very important. Craziness, right?
That's awesome.
Like craziness.
We have some written in questions, but this has been really fascinating.
This has been
and such a great personality. You're so awesome on TV, and I love that it just emanates.
Thank you guys, too. Are so fun.
So good.
So great.
Congratulations on your success.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. I'll see you in about 10 years and be like, all right, let's fuck me up.
By
Doc.
The way, I'm sure you've talked about this a million times in your podcast, but I had no idea what stiff socks meant.
Hey.
And how'd you find out?
I asked my son, I go, so what does stiff socks refer to? He goes, I think. And I go, really? And I ChatGPT'd it.
Yep.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
No reference to the show. It's just a funny name.
No,
and we like you because if you ever say anything dumb and it gets like written in a publication, it's like, how serious can you take a show called Stiff Socks?
Yeah.
Anyways?
No, it's great. Great name.
All right. So Sock Talk is, we have a few people that wrote in. First question is from Cruz. What's the one surgery you wish was possible but just isn't yet?
Hmm. iPhone in the eyes.
Penis lengthening.
Why haven't we done that yet?
A real way to enlarge the penis, because that you'd be like a gazillionaire.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's not really, despite what they say, it's not really possible.
So let me ask you this.
In a really good way.
If it was possible, would you get it, one, and two, how big?
Personally?
Yes, sir.
No, for your son.
I'd ask my wife.
Oh, that's good answer.
And that's the one operation I'd let her choose.
But that's a baited question. Yeah. She has to go, you're perfect right where you are.
Exactly.
Honey.
I'd go, great.
4 inches.
That's a great response.
Are there people dedicated in science specifically to dick maxing right now?
Yeah.
There's comedy, right?
Yeah. Yeah. There's urogynecologists.
Anybody at University of Miami is desperately trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
But there is like active research daily.
Yeah, they're always trying to figure that one out. Anything that makes money, they're trying to figure out.
I was going to say, because whoever figures that out is going to be, I mean, Elon Musk is going to be looking like an idiot.
Oh, I know.
This guy's going to be 19 quadrillion kabillionaires.
Yeah, where's Dick Tides at?
Dick Tides.
Okay, Diana asks, can you tell what decade someone's surgery is from just by looking at them?
Ooh, that's really good.
I think you can from a nose. Because the nasal rhinoplasty surgery has a particular look from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And I think most girls aren't getting very big breast implants anymore. So if someone has very big breast implants, it's probably not from this decade. So to a certain degree, yeah. And certainly these new facelifts, which I think are pretty face-altering, they make people look quite different, even though they're really well executed.
Yeah.
I think you can tell. Like an older facelift may not last as long, but they look like themselves at least.
Yeah. Okay. That's awesome.
Next question is from Faith. What's the most common thing people are insecure about and you're like, no one actually cares about this?
Dick size.
Well, no one cares about dick size.
I was going for the quick joke. nobody bought it.
I think... Some women who have these amazing breasts and they start to droop just a little bit and they become just a little deflated and a little droopy, they still look amazing. But you'd be surprised how many times they come in for a consult, I want my old breasts back. You go, believe me, no one cares that they're slightly droopy.
Yeah.
And they're a little deflated. They still look amazing. I think probably that.
I have a question. I don't know why I'm saying it like that. Vagina... surgery.
Yeah.
Where are we at? And is it real? And what do you do? And
yeah, there,
all of it.
There's a number of sort of newer things you can do. You can put a device in there, which sort of heats the surround. Remember I told you the future will be of the face. Energy transmission will take. There actually is effective ways to do that with the vaginal area.
And what is that doing?
It's shrinking everything up. It's a lot easier to shrink up mucosal tissue, like the tissue inside of your mouth, rather than skin. So,
right.
Yeah. And there's operations that people are very good at that can tighten the whole vaginal area.
So is it like tighten, like making the, I don't know how to say this without being crude, like where the penis goes to make it tighter
that's
or like,
right.
or like, okay. So that's, okay.
And is this like a post-birth thing you would do?
Yes.
Okay.
And labial surgery, you know, sometimes it gets stretched out and women are a little
trims
uncomfortable
them off the
with
top.
It. Yeah. That's a very common thing.
Jack asks, is there such thing as a signature face, like a signature haircut?
I mean, I think there was a signature nose job that people were having and you knew, you know, a signature face. Well, about 15 years ago, people were having too much filler and they were getting what was called pillow face, where you really, their faces were just very sort of filled up and pillowy. That was a very signature look that I'm glad is gone now.
You know, and I saw this maybe about 10 years ago. I felt like everyone was trying to look like Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
Everyone was trying to look like a deer.
Yeah.
Makes sense? He had bigger eyes and this like kind of nose that like looked like an elf a little bit.
Yep.
And everyone had that. And I always had this thought where I'm like, is it like a haircut where you walk in and go, hey, let me get a number four? But everyone did it.
It's true. And then for a while it was Kate Middleton people wanted to look like.
Yeah.
No, you actually can't do that. Your facial features are really in your bones. And unless you're really carving up bone, you really can't make someone look like somebody else. Mm. Otherwise, everybody, think about how many people would walk around looking like Kim Kardashian if they could.
But don't they look like that? Like I think that's what this generation is.
That's how Kanye found his new wife.
Yeah, that's true. I think she looks probably like Kim Kardashian anyway. Right. Probably likes obviously that look. But I must say, there are certain things you can do to make people look better, but it kind of neutralizes their own features.
Mm.
Like if you look, I mean, I can think of three A-list stars right, or not A, but high level stars who you know right away, I'll tell you after, who have obviously just had facelifts and they look amazing, but they're pretty unrecognizable. Mm-hmm. I mean, what made them yeah. is gone. Absolutely gone.
No.
And it's, but I mean, could you imagine if you took Brad Pitt and he looked great, but you changed his face?
Yeah.
At all?
You'd just be thinking about his face the entire time.
Done. Yeah. He's,
I mean, how people discover you is how they want you to look forever.
It's like yes.
when larger actors lose a lot of weight and they're on screen, people aren't even happy for them. They're like, I miss old fat Jonah Hill.
I miss Adele. Adele's getting a bunch of blowback too.
Yeah. But wow. She looks pretty good.
That's great.
She looks great.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's just weight loss, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. But there's little tweaks that people John make Goodman, for their own yeah. benefit. Once they get a little bit of money or they like fix a smile, or close a gap in their tooth. People are like, oh, we liked you because you were different because of that.
It's true.
You look, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah, unique. And you also look like a guy who doesn't care to be like this Hollywood glitz and glamour guy. It's like, if you had gap teeth, like we liked you because we felt like one of you.
That's right.
And then they're like, fuck you, I got veneers.
I know. Now it's over. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So do you watch The Pitt? And what do you like and dislike about the show if you do watch it?
So it's a little more accurate than other medical shows.
That's good.
Been.
Great.
At least the medicine is accurate. I don't like, there's a little too much, you know, ER docs are not suffering everything. They're coming in, they're doing their shifts, they're enjoying themselves, they're actually having fun, and they're going home. Well, these guys are pathetically emotional about it. I'm going, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You plugged the guy's heart with one finger and then went to Mr. Chow's after.
And then, you know, they're just doing stuff that's way outside of the scope of an ER doc. They just do everything, you know? And, I mean, Grey's Anatomy, I remember there was a guy who was a general surgeon who would do neurosurgery too. Never in a million years a general surgeon ever cracking a
brain. Is it hard to watch a show like that because you're like, that's wrong, that's wrong,
yeah,
that's
yes.
wrong?
The original show, the first season of ER, which was a show a long time ago, which was like George Clooney and Noah Wiley.
Yeah, yeah.
He was an intern on ER. The first season, I was like a third year medical student at UCLA, and we'd watch that and go, hey, turn this off. This is such BS.
That's
you know, they
funny.
Get me a seat. Give me this. Get a
scalpel.
And if you, first of all, if you yelled at a nurse like that in the ER, she'd go, fuck you. Who are you yelling at, a-hole?
They should do a parody and do like the realistic version of it.
Right.
Like if the pit was real.
Do they say stat?
Never.
Really?
Never.
Oh, man. If they,
you'd be laughed at.
Really?
Stat. I need this stat. You go, you what?
Yeah.
Do you say I concur a lot?
Never.
Damn
Do you
it.
Even say scalpel?
No. You
what? That's like the biggest one. Scalpel.
Do you guys even wear lab coats?
I don't.
Son of a bitch.
You got blood on your leather suit, Terry?
Yeah, we don't say scalpel either. We say give me a 15. Because you've got to say what size the scalpel is.
Right.
My whole 10? Life is a lie.
Can I have a 15?
My literal whole life is
yeah.
a lie.
Yeah. Yeah. And the OR, by the way. 99% of surgeons is like very light and lively, and you play music, and it's like, hey, what's going on? It's like the locker room. It's very fun.
That's my question. So the surgeons get to pick the music, right?
Yes. We call the anesthesiologist the DJ.
That's
oh, shit.
Because we're scrubbed in. We go, excuse me, DJ, would you mind putting on?
Yeah, because then it turns out the wrong knob and gives them all that.
They're doing the thing.
Gas.
So what's the music you like to listen to? Because I know like, There's some surgeons that listen to like Metallica or something.
Yes. So there's what we call opening music and closing music.
This is great.
Right?
This
is- so opening music is you want something a little cool, but not too heavy because you're trying to figure out the thing, right?
Yeah.
And then when you figured it out and your goals have been achieved and now it's time to close, it's like, okay, let it rip.
Rocky soundtrack. Yeah, yeah.
Right? So that's what you do. I like a lot of sort of chill, cool EDM. That's what
that's
I listen
awesome.
To.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know this. That's so cool.
Yeah.
And then the scrubs that you wear. So you're wearing scrubs, obviously. Do you get to pick the color, or is it like surgeons wear this color and blah 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 wear this color?
So I'm primarily an outpatient surgeon. So I wear my own scrubs. But if you operate in a hospital, they require you to wear their scubs because it makes sure
so
they're
you got
clean.
The custom.
So yeah. You know
what are you rocking these
Tom
days?
Tom Ford.
So Louis up top, Gucci on the bottom.
All leather.
So I'm a little more fit these days.
Yeah, you are. Okay. You're looking hot.
Yeah.
So
on the bag says, fuck you, Mr. Chow. We love Mr. Chow.
Right. So I'm a little more fit. So I bought these pair of Fit, they're called Fit scrubs.
Okay.
What's the name of the scrub company? Anyway.
Scrub Daddy?
Now there's a.
Can you imagine a whole entire thing anyway, scrub daddy?
And so.
It's great for blood.
And it shows my arms a little.
Yeah! Bit. That'll wake them up.
And I walked in the other day and my staff looked at me and they went, really? I go, what? They go, seriously? I go, okay, never mind. And it's funny because the first two seasons or three seasons of Botched, I wore these sort of loose scrubs. And then I got, once you're on TV for a while, you see yourself a few seasons, you go, oh man, that's face for radio and body for
GLP-1, you know? Send.
So I go, I got super fit like third season. And so they bought me some fitter scrubs.
Hey.
And what color? What color are you using?
Black.
Oh, yeah.
A darker color, man, black.
Dude, I would love to shadow you for a day. This sounds too. Fun.
It's cool. It's cool.
Yeah, if I was a surgeon, I'd do. I would wear like snake skin. I would go crazy. Snake skin, dude. I would have
patient
like
skin.
Yeah.
Well, there was this guy who did this TV show called Dr. 90210.
A
long time ago.
Okay.
And he used to wear on this thing sleeveless scrubs.
That's
and we all went really. Bring a picture of that. Dude.
That's crazy, like, dude.
You
know?
And then he would have weights in the OR.
No.
And he would do like. You know, curls before he'd scrub
in. Is this Vin Diesel? Who is this?
Dr. 90210.
It was really dumb.
Oh, yeah.
Is that him?
No.
That dude. Yes.
He looks like a magician.
I thought that was Chris Jenner.
That's him now. There. Look at the one on the right there.
I woke up and that guy was operating on me, I would be like, cool, I'm dead, or you put a vape in me.
Yeah, it's...
But, I mean, probably worth what? $300 million?
No.
I have no idea. Mm.
We got one last thing.
One final thing.
Secret sock. My girl wants fake boobs. I'm scared she's going to leave me after. Does that happen after?
They're just asking for advice.
Very common.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, there's probably guys there too. They're like, go smaller.
So
interesting.
So if a married couple who's been married for a long time, for example, the guy brings in his wife.
Tit life crisis. On,
you're going, oh, you.
I loved it.
You're going to about to get divorced. Because he's trying to either save the marriage or make her more sexy and he's cheating. Right. I don't know what, but I think that's a concern. I'll tell you, because I mean, I don't know if you guys are breast men or not. I am.
Yeah.
If a girl goes from sort of not very much to nice full C cups, I find them 1,000 times more attractive when I was single. Right. So I think, and if you're not being cool to your girl, and all of a sudden, she's a lot hotter. She may bail on.
Yeah,
by the way, I did a show in 2003 and 4, often considered the worst reality show of all time, called The Swan.
What is this?
Fox after American Idol. It was a huge makeover show. I was the surgeon on this show, The Swan.
That time slot is crazy.
Great.
Okay.
And what is the premise on
it? Okay, you took these it was so misogynistic. You could never do this today.
Oh yeah, this is like Shallow Hal days.
Yes. We took ugly ducklings.
Oh no.
If I was a TV exec back in the day, I'd be so in. Oh, ugly ducklings would make my swan.
That's right. And
holy shit.
And we moved them all in a house together.
Oh,
okay.
No.
Look, see that one down left? She won. I operated on her. That one. That's what she looked like when I was done with her.
Oh, wow.
Duck, duck, goose.
Yes. I would like to see the before.
Yeah.
The show was in your guys' hands. They didn't have to do anything, right?
They had to have an internal, external transformation. There was a therapist and a fitness person. But it was really about...
Okay, you got G cup.
There she is right there. Look at that before and after right there.
Oh!
Not bad, right?
Wow.
Some subtle surgery, but she looks different.
It is. That I was going to say, the subtleties are great.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
So
did you call the show Chopped?
So they moved into a house together, all of them.
Okay.
And we'd operate on them, and they couldn't see themselves for 3 months.
No mirrors, nothing?
No mirrors. Even the spoons
imagine seeing
were matted.
Oh!
The spoons are matted?
Yeah.
I watched the show.
You remember
did
it?
You? I'd be like,
you must have been a little kid, man.
Dude, even the spoons are mad.
Yeah.
A puddle? What about a puddle?
Well,
I would shine my shoes.
When they would be walked to the gym, a production assistant would walk them to make sure they didn't go to the side mirror of a car in the parking lot and look at themselves.
So they hadn't seen themselves
at all. So the final thing was, so every week they would compete with another swan to see who made the bigger transformation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you lost that, you'd go home with all your plastic surgery. And then if you won, you stayed. And the final thing was a beauty pageant where you'd compete against the other swans for who was the ultimate swan.
Okay.
But here's the thing. at the final episode, they hadn't seen themselves for 3 months. They'd walk up to this curtain in front of a mirror. The curtain would open. And they'd see themselves for the first time at the big reveal. And it was just crazy. Yeah.
So they, because I know reality show, fake slaw stuff, that's real. Like they literally did not see themselves for 3 months.
I suspect they all...
You could somehow get it.
Yeah, you could, you know.
Yeah, you find
a fingernail.
Even in here, there's no mirrors in here, but you could.
You find a loose toaster.
You could find
glass.
We figured they all knew because.
A loose toaster.
But it was pretty cool because for those 3 months when they were swollen and looking weird, none of them bugged us. But I'll tell you, three shocking reality shows. By the way, see the one on the right?
Yeah.
I did that one too. The second worst reality show of all time. Called Bridalplasty.
Great name,
right?
No!
Great name.
So,
please walk me through what that means.
Okay, so all of these engaged girls would move into a house. They would compete each week in a wedding-related challenge. If they won, they could have one plastic surgery procedure.
Oh, my God.
And this seems more fitting for today's age than back then.
Nah,
you don't think?
Yeah. Anyway, so they would move into a house, and if you won the whole season, you could have a complete makeover by me.
Okay.
But here's the catch. They throw you a wedding, a big giant wedding.
Yeah.
But your fiance wouldn't get to see what you looked like until the day of the wedding when the veil is lifted.
Oh, wow. Whoa. Can you imagine the reaction then? He's like, what the fuck?
We did it. We did that show. That went one season.
Well, dude, this is like Pimp My Ride for people.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
You put a fucking fish tank on her head.
I know. So I've
She's
done
Korean
some,
now.
I've done some of the funkiest reality Exhibit. TV shows. But I've also done the best, Botched.
Yeah, Botched.
Dude, that's
Botched.
So awesome.
Greatest plastic surgery reality show of all time.
And I mean, I could keep talking about this forever, but we've gone 2 hours or something.
Okay.
But yeah, we don't want to hold up your time and get reservations at Chalice tonight, huh?
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night?
Really?
Yes. What time?
Hopefully this isn't coming out.
No. Next week. Well, I
want to
know
no.
so I can go there and choke and we can do a set it up a little bit. Like, oh my God.
We pay for my meal.
Yeah.
If you prepay, I'll go with you. You can choke.
Prepay.
Where can people find you online? Is anything to promote right now?
You know, I'm Beverly Hills plastic surgeon now. I have a podcast with my wife called Between Us about me and her and our lives together.
Beautiful.
And we've got a YouTube channel called Dr. Ms. Guinea Pig. We try stuff out on ourselves, experiment.
Oh, shit.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And, you know, we'll see us on Real Housewives of Orange County. My wife's filming it right this second as we speak.
Really?
Yeah. I appear on that occasionally.
That's got to be fun.
And then
make
we'll
a
see whether
cameo.
We do some more Botched in the future. You know, we might do an expanded version. So we'll see.
Dude, anywhere I can ever shout at you for a day, I would love to.
Yeah.
Made it sound so.
You tell me what.
Right. It just sounds fun. If there's ever like a ride-along job, it would be a day with you, Terry. That'd
you guys
awesome.
Come over and meet my kids. I'll do it.
I would
love to.
I gotcha.
I would love to.
Right.
Thank you so much. This episode was so fun. We appreciate your time.
That
was so fun. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Terry.
All right. Awesome. Guys, that is it. Thank you so much for watching and listening to the Sip Socks podcast. Come see Mr. Wallace, Mr. Blouts on our tour, Patreon. Go check that out. Free episode every freaking Friday for $5 a month. I said free and $5. You guys understand. That is it. We love you. I got a big old dick. And now I definitely do because Terry's going to do it. Bye!